Welcome to the Hedgemaker Broadcast. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied to the nation of Israel many long years ago, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." He also said that the Lord sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries, located in beautiful Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is attempting to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in these days of spiritual compromise and theological apostasy. Our biblical and historical Christian heritage challenges us to fill in the gaps left by those who have moved away from their biblical foundation. Listen now as we build up the wall and make up the hedge through sound preaching from God's holy word.
Say the reference before and after. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. As we mentioned, we were doing a series on a number of new things that we found in the Bible. I forget how many of there were altogether, but I made a list of them just this morning. A new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New life we have in Christ. As a new creature, we have a new life in Christ. The new song, if taken me out of the miry pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. There are new mercies that are new every morning, Lamentations 3:23. We preached on the new cart. That was a bad thing that the Israelites did. Instead of using the method that God chose for transporting the Ark of the Covenant, they put it on a new cart. They thought they were doing a great thing. We have a lot of new things going on in Christianity today, and folks think today that that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's not. It's a new cart, and they're bringing dishonor to the Lord. I preached on new gods, and then there was the new year, the new spirit. We looked at Ezekiel chapter 36 and other places about a new spirit that God wants to put in us, the new moon, the new commandment, the new name, the New Testament, the new covenant, and new wine. Those are several things we found as new things in the Bible. And this morning I want to take the topic new heavens and new earth. It's found about four different places in the Bible. In the back of the bulletin I have listed several of those places. And let's start with Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. Revelation 21, 1. John, of course, is the revelator. He is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. There are divisions in the book of Revelation, some of them being introduced by the words, "And I saw." So this is a new division, Revelation 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." Well, there's the New Jerusalem. We didn't preach on that, but I'll kind of touch on that a little bit this morning. "Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." We are told there in Isaiah, "Remember not the former things." "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new." There's another new thing. All things new. "And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In this chapter, John is revealing a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I take the position that the book of Revelation is written in chronological order, unless there are words to indicate that there is an overlapping, and there is some of that throughout the book of Revelation. So if you back up to chapter 20, you discover John begins the chapter with the formula, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan," pretty much identifies who that is, "and bound him 1,000 years. There's the millennium. The millennium is in the Bible, folks. It is not a figment of our imagination. There are folks today who call themselves theologically an amillennial, that there is no millennium. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. That's not a figure of speech. That's 1,000 years. And Satan is bound for that time. That's the millennium. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, and he shall deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. After that time, he must be loosed a little season." And then John, another formula, a time thing. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." I think that takes us back to chapter 6 and the first martyrs that took place during the tribulation, "which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in his hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." I think we, so far, four times, and then verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then verse 7, "When the 1,000 years are expired," you get the impression we're talking about 1,000 years here. It's not a figure of speech, folks. It's 1,000 years. It's the millennium. Millennium is a Latin word for 1,000. "And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog." We've been studying about that in the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday nights, "to gather them together to battle. And the number of them, which is the sand of the sea, and they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city," which would be the city of Jerusalem, of course. "And fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And then another, "And I saw a great white throne." So you get the picture. If this is in chronological order, we have the 1,000 years taking place. During that 1,000 years, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, he's loosed for a short season to deceive the world. Gog and Magog are going to try to, that we've studied that, that's the land area of Russia. The northern army that the Bible talks about will come again to, and I agree with J. Dwight Pentecost that the battle is a series of battles, probably starting in the middle of the tribulation and running to the end of the tribulation, just as the millennium is beginning. And then there's this battle evidently again at the end of the millennium, where Satan and these northern coalitions try to have one last battle against the Lord, but the Lord defeats them. And then Satan is bound eternally in the lake of fire, verse 10. And then the great white throne judgment takes place in verse 11, where John, verse 12, sees the dead, small and great, stand before the Lord, and the sea gave up the dead. So chronologically, chapter 21 would follow the millennium. Some people think that the new heaven and new earth is another way of expressing what's going to take place during the millennium. And I don't think that's the case. Although I would agree that the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be like the things that are going to take place in heaven, because Jesus will be here. But the millennium takes place on this present earth. Although, I also believe that during the tribulation, there are a number of physical, phenomenal events that take place to help cleanse the earth for the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think that time-wise, chapter 21 of Revelation is the post-millennium, after the millennium. So the new heaven and the new earth coming after the millennium. Now, what's taking place in the new heaven and new earth? I want to give you four accomplishments of the new heaven and new earth. Whatever word you want to use for it. I put a couple of them in the bulletin. Restoration, renewal, reconstruction even. All of those things are, those are not several points, those are all one. The renewal. And so that's the first thing that we see about this new heaven and this new earth. And, you know, I think about that in relation to your life and my life. Whatever has happened in your life, God is in the business of reconstructing. We have a unique knack for destroying our lives. But God is in the business of reworking those lives and reconstructing, putting things back in order when they are out of order. All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 17. Two places here in Isaiah where Isaiah mentions the new heaven and the new earth. Now, let me give you a quick background about Isaiah. Most, if not all, of the prophets will talk about the trouble of the tribulation. That's a part of their prophecy. And then they will tack on a couple of verses or a chapter or perhaps several chapters at the end of their prophecy to talk about the blessings of the millennium. Now, none of those prophets call that time the millennium. They don't use the terminology as we read in the book of Revelation, 1,000 years. They will refer to things like a blessing. So in Isaiah chapter 60 through 66 are the chapters that deal with the millennium. Now, Isaiah is a little bit unique in that Isaiah also preaches about the blessings of God's kingdom, like in chapter 2, and I can't remember where else. Anyway, I call them commercials that Isaiah intermits into his prophecy. But the last 6 or 7 chapters deal with the blessings of the millennium. In fact, let's jump in here at chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's what the millennium is going to be all about, the glory of the Lord. We're going to see that as we work our way through the rest of the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday night. So when we come to chapter 66, we're still in that prophecy regarding the blessings of the kingdom. And in chapter 65 and verse 17, God says, "Behold, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Now, my outline this morning, four accomplishments of the new heaven and the new earth. The first thing is whatever word you want to put in there, renewal, reconstruction, revival, any of those words would work. The next one is remember not. Remember not. The former thing shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And we saw that elsewhere as we were reading the book of Revelation as well. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And that relates to our passage in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. You see, we could go back to our flood situation and we could remember the place that we had. There were some advantages we had at that place that we do not have here. One, we had more space, probably about double the amount of space. So we have some limitations here. For instance, this summer, we are probably not going to be able to do at least the traditional Bible school because we just don't have the room to do that. Remember ye not the former things. We can think back and say that, you know, I can also go back to other places I've been. You know, I've been in some nice buildings. I wish that we had the building that we had when we were in Nebraska. It was probably the best church building that I was ever pastor of. But it's gone. It's no longer a church, and we can't, of course, bring it here, but, you know, and we could think about all kinds of things like that. But remember ye not the former things. We don't live in Nebraska. We don't live in other ministries. We don't live at 339 South Main Street anymore. You see, we are here. He opened the door here, and we're thankful for this place, in spite of its restrictions, that we have a place. But remember ye not the former things. When we get to that new heaven and new earth, there's something going to happen, and we're not going to remember the former things. You know, we're plagued today with the memory of the past, aren't we? And in fact, the devil likes to taunt us with those things, doesn't he? You remember when you were... Do you remember when that happened? And then we get to thinking, and yeah, I remember that. Boy, I guess the Lord doesn't love me since I've done that. And the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. New heavens and new earth. We're not going to be wishing that we had the old world to get back again when the new heavens and new earth come about. So there's remember ye not. Let's go to chapter 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 and verse number 22. Again, in this context of the blessings of the millennium. For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. The key word, I'm picking on these R words, is remain, or you could use the word remnant. Remnant. God always has a remnant. I want to be a part of that remnant. During the tribulation, God will have a remainder. That's what the word remnant means. A remainder. Now, he's talking about the world, the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. He's talking about this new heaven and new earth remaining, and he doesn't say it right here, but in other places he talks about this forever and ever, so it'll be an eternal new heaven and new earth. And he also talking to the nation of Israel here, so shall your seed and your name remain. So God's not finished with the nation of Israel. God has some work for the nation of Israel, and God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with Heritage Baptist Church yet. God, again, is in that business of restoring things. But there is a remembrance. God doesn't forget about us. There's a remembrance of things that he wants us to remember. I want to go back here and look at one more passage of Scripture, and we'll spend the rest of the time in that passage. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. We see the phrase new heavens and new earth in this passage of Scripture as well. Now, Peter is preaching about the last days. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And he goes on to describe them. So he's talking about these last days when false teachers will come. And then chapter 3 begins, and this second epistle, so 2 Peter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to remember some. Don't forget some things. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And so he talks about these false teachers that will come. They're going to say, in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? And we might say, in light of our restoration, where's the promise of his restoration? Where's the promise of Heritage Baptist Church being a larger church, of growing, of the things that, you know, when we started this church, one of the things that God impressed upon me was the phrase that Jesus said, I will build my church. The Bible clearly states that there are false teachers and false scoffers and so on, and many who will say, well, where's the promise of his coming? And we don't quit because somebody mocks and says, well, where's the promise of Heritage Baptist Church growing? And we keep on going. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, they say. For this they willingly are ignorant of. that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's a principle there. God restores the church. God keeps the church going. He builds the church. I'm making application to this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We want it to happen overnight. You know, it may not happen overnight. You know, sometimes churches start and they grow overnight, in one day, so to speak. Some of us, it takes 1,000 years. It takes a little longer. Our reproducing church was started, and within a year, they were up and fully supported, dropped all of their missionary support, and just, you know, they have their ups and downs. You know, they're only 4 years older than us. Why does God do that for one and not another? I don't know. Pastor Schweitzer has folks moving into the Denver area, seems like all the time. Now, there's a turnover in the last, you know, we're 10 years old, so he's 14 years old, and there's a new crowd there now, but it's a flourishing church, full-time church, two full-time pastors. Why don't we have that? We'd like to have that, wouldn't we? Full-time pastorates. Sure we would. And we're 10 years old. I don't know why that works that way. We're not supposed to compare ourselves with things anyway, but for whatever reason, we just haven't tapped into people who've moved into the Mannheim area and can grow with us and so on and so forth, but that's all the Lord's business, you see. The Lord, verse 9, is not slack concerning his promise. What's his promise to us as a church? I will build my church. As some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, now he's talking about the present heavens, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, so we have the heavens and the earth, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So he's talking about the heavens passing away with a great noise, and the elements melting with a fervent heat. The elements, he's probably talking about those, what we know as, in chemistry, as the elements, melting with a fervent heat, and the earth also being burned up. So some kind of a destruction is going to come. We had a flood. It was a destruction. Why did God send that? God's going to do it again with a destruction of some sort. Sounds to me like some kind of an explosion. The heavens he's probably talking about, there's three heavens in the Bible, the atmospheric heavens, the stellar heavens, and the heaven where God dwells. That's a perfect place, so that doesn't need to be any reconstruction, although I did read a commentary that said that that will be redone also, but I think he's probably talking about the atmospheric heavens. And so there's probably some kind of an explosion that happens that the Lord sends with a great melting of the elements with a fervent heat and burning up the earth and the atmosphere. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Now he uses that word dissolved. So God's going to dissolve these things. Now what he does here, I'm not so sure. There's a couple of thoughts and possibilities here. And I'm inclined to believe that this is not a total destruction of the heavens and the earth, a total annihilation of all of these things, but a reconstructing and a repaving, a redoing of these things. Not because God made a mistake. That's not the reason. The reason is because man destroyed what God has made. So God dissolves, is the word he uses here, the heavens and the earth. He uses the same word in verse number 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And so it's probably a reconstructing of this. If you go back to the illustration that Peter brings, and I think he's talking about the flood of Noah in chapter 3 here, verse 5 and 6, maybe verse 7 as well. I think he's referring to the flood of Noah's day. God didn't totally annihilate the earth, but he covered the entire earth with water in Noah's day. And yes, it was a universal worldwide flood, just like the Bible says. And so he reconstructed the earth. So that the earth after the flood was different than the earth before the flood. I think that's where the Grand Canyon came from, the flood of Noah's day. I don't think it was the same earth as before the flood. And so I think there's some things that will happen during the tribulation and after the millennium when the Lord creates this new heaven and new earth, so we end up with a new heaven and a new earth, a recreation of that. Takes us back to this business of reconstructing and reworking and all that that God is up to. We've had three different words so far. We've had the word renewal, and whichever word you're looking for, I've got a bunch of them. Reconstruction, all of those words. We have the word, remember not, from Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 17, and then in Isaiah 66 and verse number 22, the word remainder or remnant. It's God remembering us, so kind of the opposite of us. We're supposed to forget things, but the Lord always remembers. And then the word here is righteousness. It's going to be in verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I think that's what God's all about. If you go back to the very beginning of creation and you see God working with Adam and Eve in the garden, what did God want out of Adam and Eve? That they do what is right. That they live righteously. They failed. They took of that forbidden fruit. And so now they have a conscience. And so God began to work with them according to their conscience. Man failed in those respects. And God sends a flood. And so after the flood, God sends human government. Said, all right, let's work with man through human government. Let's try to get him to do what is right by putting some punishments in there and using human government. And that failed. And they built that tower. And so God confounds the languages. And then he chooses one nation out of entire world. He gives a promise to Abraham and says, well, let's work with man through this dispensation of promise. And Israel forgot the promise. They didn't keep their end of the bargain. And so they went into captivity. And then God begins to work in the present age with the New Testament local church. And what are we doing today? We're failing in the New Testament local church. One of the biggest requirements of the New Testament believer is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we're filled with everything else but the Spirit of God. We're not in obedience to the Word of God. And we're not planting churches like we're supposed to be planting churches. And we're destroying churches instead of we're making them ungodly and worldly and corrupt and unholy. So God will destroy all of that when the rapture takes place and God catches away believers to heaven, and the world is rushed into this seven-year tribulation where God is going to cleanse the earth, and then there's the millennium, the thousand-year reign. All right, he says, well, let's bring the Lord Jesus Christ himself back to earth. And we discover when we read and study about that, that at the end of that millennium, we read it there in Revelation 21, when the devil is released from his thousand-year prison, he goes out to deceive many. So all these folks that follow the Lord for 1,000 years, now they turn upon the Lord because the devil deceived them. So even having the Lord Jesus Christ there in present isn't going to work. And so God says, let's recreate. Let's make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's plan for the world to live in righteousness.
This is Dr. Lee Henise, and we want to thank you for listening to the Hedgemaker broadcast today. Most of our broadcasts are portions of a sermon that I have preached to church. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries is the preaching, teaching, and writing ministry for myself. You can visit us on the web at hedgemaker.org. And let's be encouraged to stand in the gap and make up the hedge until Jesus comes again.